Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and persistent Bible studier, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, tada, my dear, and let me just say we should all be persistent studiers of His Word. Of course, we are very glad you have tuned in today, and we want to remind you that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. Now let us glorify God for His many blessings.
Abba, Father, we highly esteem Your Majesty. We thank You for our numerous blessings, both seen and the many that we don't see. We know, we speak for all our listeners today that covet Your presence in their lives and pray that our loved ones will be able to share that joy and to enter Your soon coming kingdom. As we watch the world spiritually decline, it saddens us greatly. But our faith sustains us because we know the end of the story. Thank You for making us privy to the knowledge of our blessed hope. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, today we are going to get right into the Word of God. So to be sure we have enough time to detail a very important part of Scripture that needs proper hermeneutics. Because lately, Christians are overlooking these four very important verses that really lays out prophetic history with astounding precision. Like John's apocalyptic revelation of the New Testament, Daniel is an apocalypse of the Old Testament.
Yes, and the only two prophets carrying God's title of Beloved.
That's right. As with all the books of the Bible, we need to incorporate a balanced approach to Hebraic roots, and let us repeat a balanced approach versus legalistic, because that's not what this is about. Just a little basic knowledge has really helped many students who choose to take this path. It also reveals how the whole Bible has a tightly engineered theme, a message system of unique structure and detail. Again, let me stress, should you choose to dig for it. So, knowing we are also kings and priests, as Jesus says in Revelation 1, Proverbs 25:2 makes perfect sense. Could you read that, dear?
It is the glory or honor of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search it out.
And you know what? This can produce a high not matching to any other. Thus, 66 books written by 40 different authors over thousands of years, proving integrity of design, demonstrating an origin above any human level. Okay, if I were to ask you which book of the Bible prophetically describes the church age, you would probably say Revelation, with the last days church of Laodicea right now in full swing. So, what book then prophetically covers Jewish history?
Well, that's a little harder, but I know it to be Ezekiel.
Yes, you do. And the book of Daniel prophetically describes Gentile history that affects Israel.
And remember, most of Daniel was written well in advance.
Mm-hmm. A solid argument against those who don't believe the scriptures were God-ordained. Anyhow, verses 24 through 27 of Daniel 9 contains the most amazing key to prophecy passages in the entire Bible. You will be greatly benefited when also reading the rest of the Bible by knowing this book. And, by the way, it is the most authenticated.
And also confirmed by the Septuagint.
Right, which is the translation of the Hebrew text into Greek, because most spoke Greek when Jesus walked, well, ever since the Alexandrian Greek Empire. So the Old Testament was translated in about 285 to 270 B.C. by the 72 elders of Israel. No other book has been as vindicated by the history that followed it than Daniel. This next quote is actually from the first century historian Josephus. Dear, would you read that?
During the Greek conquest of Jerusalem, 332 BC, Israel's high priest, Jeroboam, showed Alexander the Great some detailed references from the book of Daniel, specifically descriptive only to Alexander. Even though it was written hundreds of years before, and so Jerusalem was spared.
Yeah, especially chapters 8 through 11 of Daniel is very historical. So think of that. Alexander the Great did not attack Jerusalem because he saw himself in prophecy and did not want to offend the God of Israel. You know, King Cyrus had a similar experience when he read the prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah even called him by his name.
Yeah, twice, in Isaiah 44 and chapter 45.
And then Jesus as well gives his ultimate authentication when he declares Daniel as the book's writer, specifically calling him Daniel the prophet, admonishing and holding the Jews accountable, and that was in Matthew 24, to know Daniel's writings. And so I think that means we should too.
Yes. When Jesus was asked the question concerning the end times, he told us to understand Daniel.
He did. But before we get into those verses, let's tell our listeners how they can reach us.
Okay. We do welcome all of your comments and end time questions, either by email to Sheila@ChopardMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are very much needed and certainly appreciated. And we will be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay. The prophetic vision of Daniel 9:24 through 27 was told to him by the angel Gabriel. A very difficult prophecy, especially in its day. Thereby, in chapter 12, we read that Daniel was told to seal the book, for it would not be discerned till the latter days. Now, I might add that it was this prophecy that confirmed to me that the bride of Christ must leave prior to Jacob's trouble.
Yeah, the tribulation of Revelations chapter 6 through 19.
That's right.
I think you have some background.
Oh, I do on Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, conquered Jerusalem in 606 BC and returned to Babylon with a group of royal captives, including a young man named Daniel. These Jewish captives were to be trained in all of the wisdom of that very pagan empire to eventually serve as royal advisors. Daniel distinguished himself by his exemplary character, his wisdom, and the tremendous prophetic gifts which God had bestowed upon him due to his faithfulness. As a result of these prophetic abilities, Daniel was elevated from the position of a captive slave to ultimately becoming the first minister of this great Babylonian empire, which ruled the known world.
Yeah, it's like Joseph was in Egypt. Only God.
Only God. Meanwhile, his contemporary, the prophet Jeremiah, continued to prophesy to the remainder of the Jewish people that were still in Jerusalem, but were living, of course, under the Babylonian army of occupation. Jeremiah declared that the whole land would be a desolation and an astonishment, and shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Yeah, that's Jeremiah 25:11.
Yep, he warned him. So, 68 years later, in 538 B.C., Daniel was reading this prediction of 70 years and knew that the Babylonian captivity would end within 2 years.
In 536 B.C., I believe.
That's right. So, while praying and interceding on behalf of his people, he asked God to reveal to him the future of the Jewish people. God answered by sending his angel Gabriel to give him skill and understanding about the future course of history.
Probably the most amazing visions ever given to man.
This vision of the 70 weeks of years foretold the precise day when the Messiah would be presented to the people.
We know that was on Palm Sunday.
It was. And then he was soon rejected and cut off that same week. And then we'll see this prophecy jumps ahead about 2,000 years for the church age. And once the church is removed, looks back to Israel to finish the last 7 years of prophecy meant specifically for Israel. And that, of course, is to fulfill Jesus' second coming and set up his everlasting kingdom. Now, that's a short summary, so let's just start into Daniel 9, verse 24, where we see that God gives to Daniel's people 70 weeks, or 70 times 7 equals 490 biblical years, to fulfill six things. By the way, that just happens to be 176,400 days. And subtracting the time of the church age. All right, six things. To finish the transgression, and of course that means no more breaking the laws, passing over God's limitations, or rebelling. Also to make an end of sins. I'm looking forward to that. To make reconciliation for iniquity, which means total faith in God's forgiveness. To bring in everlasting righteousness, yay. To seal up the vision and prophecy as basically a done deal. And to anoint the most holy, which is only completed when the Messiah returns to set up his kingdom. Okay, so that's pretty simple. Then we get into verse 25. And this tells us when this period would begin. Okay, that's a very important clue. It starts out by saying, know therefore and understand at the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay, a little footnote here. The Persian king Artaxerxes Longimanus did command that more Jews should return home to help rebuild the city walls. It's not just the temple here. We're talking about the walls. You know, some Jews had already left to build that new temple, but Nehemiah asked for more help to enclose Jerusalem from its enemies. This day, at this command, is when the prophecy would begin the countdown. And the Bible in Nehemiah records the day that decree was given. According to the second chapter of Nehemiah, the month was Nisan, which we know had to be the first day of Nisan because it doesn't give a specific date, which always means it's the first. That also means it was a new moon. And by the way, the only day each month that a servant could see the king. So, this is why knowing some of your Jewish roots, by the way, is important. Anyhow, scholars have been able to figure it on the Gregorian calendar to be March 14th, 445 BC. But you really don't need to know that if you know your Hebrew calendar, because it works out the same. 70 times 7 times 360 days in a year equals 176,400 days from the decree on Nisan 1 in 445 BC. And we have the records recording this decree on the wall building, which came years after the original decree from Cyrus for the Jews to return to rebuild the temple. So, we have the start. Should we say we have the day that we can start counting? And verse 25 tells us that something significant will happen at the 69-week mark, which is the 62 plus 7 talked about. So how many days is that from Nisan 1, 445 BC? Well, it is 173,880 days. To the date, exactly, that the Messiah, the real prince, shows up. And by the way, this was the only day Jesus allowed the people to hail him as king. Remember, it was on Palm Sunday, which was Nisan 10, exactly 173,880 days, or 69 weeks of years from that decree. Now, if you're doing your math, you know that leaves seven more unfulfilled years for that 70 weeks of years completed prophecy, which will begin again as soon as the church leaves, when God focuses back on Israel's salvation. Now, unfortunately, it is the time of their affliction called Jacob's trouble, but also a judgment on actually the whole world. Now, verse 26 goes on to say that the Messiah will be cut off, which is an idiom meaning to suffer the death penalty. And sure enough, in that same week, 4 days later, on Nisan 14, on Thursday, not a Friday, they crucified him. The counting stops now at 483 years of this 490-year prophecy. There's a gap of time for the Gentiles to come in called the Church Age. Soon, the destruction of the temple happened in 70 AD by the Romans, and the eventual plowing down of Jerusalem in 135 AD. And as you know, then came the diaspora when the Jews fled Jerusalem like a flood. They suffered through wars and desolations. Still in the same verse 26, it also describes a prince, but this is the prince of the air who inhabits the Antichrist, who will emerge from the same people who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. This is the major clue to substantiate where the Antichrist comes from. He's not a Muslim. He's a ruler from Rome. I suspect either the Jesuit general or an evil pope who will then appoint his own false prophet. Rome controlled Jerusalem when Christ died, and the prophecy was put on hold for the church to come in, and it must go back again to Rome, controlling Jerusalem again when the prophecy will be picked up. Today, the Pope, behind the scenes, is preparing to control it again. Now, let me add that Satan is a deceiver, and he uses people in leadership all the time as infiltrators. And it's difficult sometimes to recognize them, especially if you are not looking. Also, according to Daniel 2, the feet of the statue that he saw was still the iron, but now, different from the legs, it's mixed with clay, which, of course, is a word for the people. You've heard it. He is the potter. We are the clay. During this next time, these last 7 years, the people will hail this Roman leader who they believe is a Messiah. When in Jesus' day, the people hated the Romans, but not so after our light leaves. And we'll leave that all for another time. So within a few days after we leave, verse 27 begins when that so-called peace covenant is signed by many for 1 week or 7 years. The counting picks up again to finish the 490 years or 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. Verse 27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many," and that's to, of course, to include Israel, "for 1 week," which is 7 years. "And in the middle of the week," which is 3.5 years, "he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering," which they will again start up again. "And on the wing," or the altar of abominations, "shall be one who makes desolate," or better put, defiles it, "even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on this desolator." Means that one who does these abominations will be made desolate himself or annihilated at the already determined time It's a done deal. God knows when it is. I have often had the question put to me, well, how do you know who the word he is referring to in verse 27? Well, you learn in English class that when a pronoun is used, it always refers to the antecedent or the last noun used. In this case, it's the prince that shall come from the people who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. A Roman ruler. I don't care about the nationality, but it has to be a ruler from Rome, which today is either the Pope or perhaps the Jesuit general, also called the Black Pope. By the way, there has been other gap periods for the church age due to its mystery. So, cannot be openly mentioned in the Old Testament, in other words, because the church is a mystery. But it is there by absence of years. I know that's hard to comprehend, but it's true. Let me give you an example. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Well, you know that there's a time lapse between the son is given and the government will be on his shoulder in the millennial kingdom. So there's that 2,000-year gap. And it goes on to say, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Hallelujah. Psalm 118:22 says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." There's a 2,000-year gap in there. Now, I don't have time to read these, but here's some homework for you if you'd like. Write down Daniel 12:2 and look for the church gap. Also, Psalm 118:22, Hosea 3, 4, and 5, Isaiah 61, verse 2, Revelation 12, verse 5. So, let me give you a quick summary in easy English and the only given clear timeline, by the way, in the Old Testament concerning the Jewish people. 490 biblical lunar years are determined upon Daniel's people to accomplish six things to be fulfilled eventually by the Messiah to come. After 483 years, or 69 weeks, he will be killed. At this point, the 490-year prophecy is put on hold with 7 years left. This is for the new believers called the church to accept Christ's sacrifice. This whole time, this hold of time, or this gap, is for 2,000 years, approximately, or 2 days if you look at Hosea 5:15, as a day is 1,000 years. There are other gaps of time in the Old Testament because the church was a mystery, as I just gave you Isaiah 9:6. So, in order for this prophecy to finish, the church must leave to start the prophecy clock again to finish the last 7 years of the 490 years. At the end of these last 7 years, the six promises will be fulfilled, as well as the consummation of the desolator. I'm running out of time, so please, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, you better do it now. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in always. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. So, till next time, have a great week. Love one another. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.